I'm Kate Remington, and today I'm talking with Simona Dinnerstein. She'll be performing on March 16th at Fairfield University's Quick Center for the Performing Arts program that features music by Poulenc, Debussy, Brahms, and, of course, Johann Sebastian Bach. And Simona, it's such a wonderful, I'm so happy to have a chance to talk with you.
Thank you.
You've just released a CD that features Bach's two-part inventions and the three-part sinfonias. And as a pianist myself, I was absolutely fascinated to hear your performance because you actually make them sound like music. I think so often these pieces are just treated as little technical exercises.
Well, they are actually amazing pieces of music. They're wonderfully imaginative and diverse and quite challenging to play.
And yet he intended them for beginning pianists or beginning keyboard performers, like his sons and the rest of his students.
Yes, he wrote them. He wrote a very nice preface to the music where he said that they were an honest musical guide to keyboard lovers. And I think that their purpose was, as he said, to show how to balance two voices and three voices and to play them in a cantabile style, meaning in a singing style, and to understand how different musical ideas could be developed contrapuntally.
Well, I think it gives us a real insight into what an outstanding teacher he must have been, too. Very thoughtful and encouraging and very methodical, too.
Yes. I mean, I think that the best teachers can really show the way by using great art. And, you know, you think about Chopin's etudes that he wrote for piano, where each etude is an exploration of a different type of challenge as a pianist that you might encounter. But it's presented in such a compelling and beautiful and, you know, ravishing way that we want to listen to this music and we want to play it. We want to be able to as pianists, we want to be able to master those challenges so we can bring that wonderful music to life. And the same thing is being done by Bach in that he's showing you how to hear and to play multiple lines, and the motivation for us is to bring to life the rich music that is there.
And that's the tricky part, because when you're looking at the score, especially of the two-part inventions and the sinfonia, there's not a lot there. It doesn't have a lot of the tempo markings or the expressive marks that, say, an edition of Chopin would have. So how do you get inside these little pieces and decide what is important to bring out?
Well, I think that that's really one of the most exciting parts of playing Bach, is that there are so many different directions that the music can take. And when I'm working on a piece of his, I try playing it in many different ways. And what motivates me to try one way or another is to bring out certain elements that I see in the music. You know, if there's something, some kind of idea that I feel is being pursued throughout the piece, and I want to make sure that that is what's coming to the foreground when you're listening to it, then that will make me play it in a certain way.
Well, I was particularly struck by your interpretation of the D minor invention. That's one that, well, there are lots and lots of different performances of it, but what I love about yours is that it's very thoughtful. It's almost like a wistful waltz. And you mentioned in the booklet that accompanies the CD that was a really important piece for you when you were a young pianist.
Yes, that was the first piece by Bach that I remember hearing, and I was about 9. I was going to Manhattan School of Music pre-college on Saturdays, and they had a performance class, and where we would play for each other. And a girl a little bit older than me played that invention. And I remember just being awestruck by it, and I couldn't understand how she could her left hand could move just as fast as her right hand. And I thought it was just a really beautiful piece, and I really wanted to play it. And so I asked my teacher, and he said I wasn't ready yet. And it took a couple of years before he let me learn that one. I learned a whole bunch of other ones first. And, you know, back when I was a child, the challenge with that one was wanting to play it as fast as possible. and now when I play it, I just think there's so much kind of sort of wistfulness in the music. And I wanted to bring that aspect of it out.
Yeah, so often people kind of gloss over the emotional qualities in Bach's music. They tend to treat it as just sort of a static thing. And what I really enjoy and appreciate about your performances is you bring a real emotional depth to whatever music of Bach that you perform.
Thank you. Well, I think that the music has tremendous depth. And, I think sometimes people have differing ideas about the instrumental music, but certainly if you listen to any of the vocal music, it's so expressive. I mean, you listen to the St. Matthew Passion and it doesn't get more heartfelt than that.
Mm-hmm. You've paired these Bach conventions on a program recently with contemporary music by Nico Muhly and John Cage, and I'm curious about what you find are the similarities with these pieces.
Well, it wasn't John Cage. It was George Crumb.
Oh, I'm sorry.
but yes, yeah. Well, this program is one that I did that explores all the different kinds of forms of counterpoint. And so in the more recent pieces, the piece Nico Muhly wrote for me and the work by George Crumb, there are different types of treatments of writing for multiple voices. So, for instance, in the case of George Crumb's piece, which is Eine kleine Mitternachtmusik, a set of variations on Thelonious Monk's Round Midnight, he writes for the extended piano, which means that he's writing for not just playing on the keys, but playing inside the instrument, plucking strings, making rhythmic effects using a soft mallet on the crossbars, and all these various other sounds that add other layers to the texture. And so you might have two or three voices being played on the keys and then another two voices being played within the piano.
That sounds fascinating. I can't even visualize what that music would even look like, but
it's quite interesting to look at, and it's challenging to choreograph.
Oh, I'm sure. Thank you so much. I really, really enjoyed talking with you.
Thank you. It's great talking with you too.